Please turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, the fourth book of Moses, the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers, chapter 6. And I'll read verses 22 through 27. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.' So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them." We find our text this morning in the book of Numbers, and this book is called Numbers because two times in this book the sons of Israel were numbered according to their tribes, back in chapter 1 when they were at Mount Sinai, and again in chapter 26 when they were in the plains of Moab. The great number of the sons of Israel at this time was already a remarkable fulfillment of the promise given to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12 that his descendants would be as many as the stars of the heavens. Here we have the most well-known passage in the book of Numbers called the Aaronic benediction or the Aaronic blessing. Aaron was the high priest. This was the blessing that God commanded to be pronounced upon the people. The blessing came from the Lord. He first gave it to Moses. Moses then passed it on to Aaron, as we read in verse 22. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons who were to be the high priests after him. Thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them," and the blessings are given in verses 24 through 26. The blessings here in Hebrew, the Hebrews were often wrote in poetic form. Here there is a kind of arithmetic progression as we go from one line to the next. In the Hebrew, the first line in verse 24 has three syllables: "The Lord bless you and keep you," three syllables. Then the second line in verse 25, "The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you," is five syllables. And then the last line in verse 26, "The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace," is seven words. So we have three words, then five words, then seven words. And the same thing is true in regard to the Hebrew syllables. The first line is 12 syllables. The second line is 14 syllables, and then the third line is 16 syllables. So there is this progression. Each line is longer than the one before, giving us the impression of a stream that flows out from the Lord. And though it may start small as a trickle, it always increases. It is always wider and deeper and stronger as it proceeds, an ever expanding and enlarging blessing from the Lord, blessing upon blessing, because the blessings of the Lord God never diminish and they never run dry. We notice that in each of the three verses there are two blessings, for a total of six blessings given here. And each line begins with the name, the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Some, including Spurgeon, they take this threefold repetition of the Lord's name to refer to the three persons of the Trinity. As if each verse, a blessing proceeds from each of the three persons. Verse 24, God the Father speaks a blessing upon his people. Verse 25, God the Son And then finally, verse 26, God the Holy Spirit declares his blessing upon them as well. And even if we would not accept this reference to the three persons of the Trinity, we can be assured that every blessing that we receive comes from the Lord and from all three persons of the Blessed Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three of them concur. All three of them are in agreement, and all three persons of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, play their role and their part in every blessing that comes upon us. Others take the threefold repetition here to speak of emphasis. Repetition is sometimes used in the Bible to speak of the intensity and the greatness of something. Jesus used repetition when he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you," and he meant that something, what I am about to say to you, is of the highest importance. We see repetition again in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw his vision of the Lord and the seraphim were about the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts," to emphasize the holiness of the Lord. And so the threefold repetition here of the Lord's name is meant to emphasize the vastness, the wonderful nature, the greatness of the blessings of the Lord upon his people. The blessings that are spoken of here are the only blessings in this world that bring true happiness, true joy, and peace. This is what every man and woman desires in this life, is to find true and lasting happiness and peace, but they look for it in every wrong place. Some look for it in their wealth and their possessions, others in their pleasures, their sensualities, some in their honors and their accomplishments, others in their relationships with other people. There are many idols in this world, and people look for blessing and happiness in a thousand wrong ways. It is all evidence of how lost the human race is, that we do not know where to look and how to find true blessing. But here the Lord declares to us where true happiness and where true blessing in this life really comes from. He is the source of all blessing. Blessing is his idea. It comes from him. It is his initiative. It is not our invention. It is not something that we can create from ourselves. It does not come from our wisdom and strength, nor is it something that we can earn. It is not even something that we can call down upon ourselves, but it comes from the great God in heaven, who is the sovereign of all these blessings. The name, the Lord here, is the name Jehovah. Three times mentioned, the name that God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush when he said, "I am who I am." He is the eternal and everlasting God, the all-sufficient God who needs nothing outside of himself, and he is the source of everything in this universe, all matter, all life, all energy, all blessing and goodness. Throughout the universe comes from him and through him and to him are all things, and to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He is the only one from whom blessings flow. The word to bless here is an interesting and a picturesque word in the Hebrew language. What it literally means is to bend the knee. It means to bow down in order to bestow some great favor or blessing, some benefit upon another. It is the greater bestowing a favor upon a lesser. The word was used of the ancient patriarchs. Perhaps we could think of Job, who owned vast lands and great as great estate, and he would bow down and he would confer all of it upon his eldest son. Here it is the Lord. It is Jehovah, the sovereign of all the universe, the ruler of all things, who here in this sense, he bows the knee to bless us freely, sovereignly. He confers these great blessings upon his people. Every blessing and everything that we enjoy in this life comes from him. Material, physical blessings, every good thing bestowed, every gift, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from him. In him we live and move and have our being, and it is true that everything we have and everything that we are and enjoy in this life is from him. But the highest and the most wonderful blessings of all, which is what we consider this morning, are the blessings of his great salvation, which he alone has and which he alone can give. From his sovereign infinite love, the overflow of his bounty towards sinners, it is a very certain blessing that we speak of here, because as we read down in verse 27, he says, "So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel," which means they shall put my name upon them, and when they do, he says, "I then will bless them." It is a promise of his blessing upon his believing people. So we should not look at this as a prayer for a hoped-for blessing, but this blessing here is something that is certain. And the Lord speaks here of what he has accomplished and what he will give to all of his people. The Lord bless you with all of these things. The words here are a benediction, which means that they would be spoken at the conclusion of the sacrifices. Aaron or one of his sons, the high priest to come, they would lift up their hands, they would pronounce these blessings upon the people, and we can see a ceremony like this back in the book of Leviticus chapter 9, if we turn there for just a moment, Leviticus chapter 9. Leviticus chapter 9, beginning at verse 18. Then he slaughtered the ox and ram, the sacrifice of peace offerings, which was for the people, and Aaron's sons handed the blood to him, and he sprinkled it around the altar. And as for the portions of fat from the ox and from the ram, the fat tail and the fat covering and the kidneys and the lobe of the liver, they now placed the portions of fat on the breasts, and he offered them up in smoke on the altar. But the breasts and right thigh Aaron presented as a wave offering before the Lord, just as Moses had commanded. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. So in verses 18 down through verse 21, we have the sacrificial offerings and the blood that was sprinkled on the altar. And then in verse 22, in the beginning of the verse, the conclusion of the service was that Aaron here, the high priest, he would lift up his hands toward the people and bless them. And he would speak the words of the Aaronic blessing that we have read in Numbers chapter 6. His lifting up his hands showed where he believed the blessing had to come from. It had to come from above and from the Lord. And then we read in verses 23 and 24, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offerings and the portions of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." So once again, in the middle of verse 23, we have the blessing of the priests upon the people. "And when he blessed them, then the Lord came down and his glory was made known to them, and fire came out, consumed the burnt offerings." So it was not a dead ritual or ceremony, but it was the Lord in his living power that would come when the blessing was spoken. We turn back to Numbers chapter 6. And here in Numbers chapter 6, the reason why the actual words of the blessing are spoken here is because this is the end of a long section of ceremonial commands which began back in Leviticus chapter 1 and proceed all the way through to the end of Numbers chapter 6. And so here the blessing is actually spoken. A new section of more historical accounts begin in Numbers chapter 7 and following. The blessing here was to be spoken on different occasions, especially on the Day of Atonement, the annual feast, when the high priest alone would enter into the holy place of the tabernacle. Only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, and only once a year with blood of atonement. A bull would be slaughtered. Aaron, the high priest, would take the blood and enter into the Holy of Holy place within the tabernacle, within the veil of the holies, and he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat with his finger 7 times. All the people would remain outside the tabernacle, anxiously awaiting to see if the atonement had been accepted by the Lord, and Aaron would appear again from the holy place. It was a dangerous thing to go into the presence of the Lord in the holy place. 2 of Aaron's sons had been put to death because they came with strange fire, and the Lord consumed them. We read of the great Day of Atonement, the book of Leviticus chapter 16. They shall make atonement because of the impurities of the sons of Israel, because of their transgressions and in regard to all of their sins. So the atonement was to be made to remove sin from the presence of the Lord. And then when the high priest appeared again outside the holy place, he would take 2 goats. One was a sin offering, the other was the scapegoat, and he would lay his hands upon the scapegoat to put the sins of the sons of Israel on that goat and send the goat into the wilderness, never to be seen again. And it symbolized the Lord taking away the sins of his people, never to be remembered and never to be counted against them ever again. And then at the end of these ceremonies, it was then that Aaron would pronounce this blessing. And he would appear before the people with his hands lifted up, and he would declare these blessings, these fresh blessings that had just been procured by the blood of atonement and by the sacrifice of the lambs. And he would declare these fresh blessings of mercy and forgiveness and atonement upon the people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. But all of these Old Testament ceremonies pointed ahead to the coming work of the Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. The people knew that Aaron and his sons as the high priest, they were not perfect men. They died. They could not continue in their ministry and their offerings. They knew that the sacrifices that were offered on the altar and the blood that was sprinkled could never really take away any of their sins. But they were looking through by faith through all of these things to the coming Savior, who would be the great high priest, who would make the one offering that could take away all sin. They were looking to the Messiah to come. And in this first blessing in verse 24, the Lord bless you. This first blessing must include the forgiveness of sin through sacrifice. before any other blessing can come. From the Lord, there must first be a reconciliation. Before any other blessing can come, there must first be the removal of sin, the removal of guilt, a cleansing of defilement from sin. And this is the first blessing here in verse 24. And this blessing and all of them were fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. We can turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And verse 44. Now he, Jesus, said to them, his disciples, on the day of resurrection, These are my words, which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. So Jesus had died upon the cross, been crucified. His blood had been shed. And then he was raised from the dead, and now he appears to his disciples, and he begins here to explain to them that everything, all the ceremonies, the types, everything in the Old Testament, the law of Moses, everything in the book of Numbers, all of it in the law and the prophets and the Psalms, all of it had to be fulfilled and was fulfilled in him. Then in verse 45, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And now they began to see these things, and the light upon them was clear, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then Luke gives us the account of his ascension back into heaven, verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came about while he was blessing them, he parted from them. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. When the disciples saw Jesus lifting up his hands and blessing them, they knew where it came from, and they knew what it meant. It came from the work of the great high priest of the Old Testament, from Numbers chapter 6. It came from Aaron. Jesus was now declaring himself, showing himself to be the fulfillment of all the blessings that Aaron had pronounced. The great eternal high priest had come. He had made his one sacrifice for all sin. He was now raised from the dead, and he was ascending back into heaven. And he lifted up his hands and he pronounced these blessings upon his disciples and all of his people. He had made the holy, perfect atonement, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. All of his work was done, and now he is ascending back into heaven as the great high priest, where he will sit at the right hand of God, and from his throne in heaven he will continue to pronounce these blessings upon all who believe in him. Blessings of mercy and forgiveness of all sin. The blessings of righteousness and justification. The blessings of the cleansing away of all our uncleanness, white robes being given to us so we can appear before the throne of God in heaven, the blessing of his Holy Spirit given to open our minds to understand the scriptures just as he had done to his disciples, the blessing of a resurrection from the dead, just as he had just been raised from the dead. The blessing of eternal life as Jesus himself ascends into heaven with eternal life. And he says in verse 49, he is about to pour out the Holy Spirit upon his church. These are the blessings that Jesus declares to his disciples, the fulfillment of all the Aaronic blessings. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And verse 51, it came about that while he was blessing them, he was parting from them. All the blessings of Aaron point to and are fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great high priest. We turn back to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Moses often spoke of both blessing and curse in the Pentateuch. Here, there is no curse that is spoken upon his believing people. There is only blessing. Because Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs upon a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus, Paul says, the blessings of Abraham, the blessings to all the spiritual descendants of Abraham shall come upon them, the blessings that are spoken of here. He was cursed so we could be blessed. Six blessings. The first is the blessing of salvation, mercy, righteousness. In that beginning of verse 24, the Lord bless you. But then someone will say, well, if I receive all these blessings from the Lord in his great salvation, in his great mercy and forgiveness of all of my sin, is it possible for me to lose these blessings? Someone might wonder, shall I fall away so that these blessings are no longer mine? How can I be kept on the narrow way that leads to eternal life? The answer is given in the next blessing in verse 24, the Lord bless you and he will keep you, which speaks of his guarding and protecting power. So he not only blesses his people, but he keeps them, he guards them and protects them all the way to eternal life. He would not give such great blessings upon us and then allow us to lose them, to stumble and fall away from them on the way. He keeps and he guards us to the very end. When these words were first spoken, the people of Israel were here at Mount Sinai. They were about to set out into the wilderness. Into their wanderings through the wilderness, they would face many great dangers there, the barren wilderness, the desert heat, the wild beasts. There would be dangers of desert heat, thirst, hunger, dangers of war. They would have to enter the promised land. They would face the Canaanites and the fortified cities of that land. They needed protection, they needed provision, they needed to be guarded along the way. And the same thing is true for us. We face many dangers on our way to eternal life. We are in a wilderness here in this present world. Dangers of every kind all around us. Dangers of the Canaanites in our modern world with their fortified cities, with their sophisticated unbelief, with their rejection of the gospel and the persecutions of the church, through many trials, tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of heaven, said Paul. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. How shall we endure to the end to be saved? And the answer, the only answer is given here, the Lord keep you. The Lord who has blessed you with salvation, now the Lord keeps you and guards you with his power to the very end. The third blessing is given in the beginning of verse 25, the Lord make his face to shine on you. The blessing here is the Lord's face looking down upon us and shining brightly on us and our way. The Bible sometimes speaks of the face of the Lord Jesus. He is the Son of righteousness. John tells us in Revelation chapter 1 that Jesus at the right hand of God, is his face was like the sun shining in its strength. So the idea here is that the Lord looks upon us as his believing people, and he looks upon us with approval, with delight. He is so well pleased that his face begins to shine upon us, and he smiles as he looks down upon us from heaven. Not because of anything that we have done, but only because of what Christ has accomplished and merited for us. His face shines upon us, and when his face shines upon us, there is spiritual light that comes to us. There is illumination of our minds and our souls so that we are renewed in the spirit of our minds. Our souls are refreshed. We were once in the darkness of sin, in the devil's kingdom, but the God who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what happened to us in conversion. The light of Christ shone down upon us from heaven, and we could not remain in darkness any longer. And now, as John says, we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, and his face shines upon us, and there is this ever-increasing, deepening fellowship with him. Clearer manifestations and revelations of Christ and his love for us that come to us in the Scriptures and by the Holy Spirit. We come to know more of him. We find deeper discoveries of his great mercy and love. The great shepherd leads us into abundant life. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. He restores our souls. And so there is comfort, there is joy, there is happiness that comes to us as his face shines down from heaven upon us. It is what Jesus said in John 14, verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." That's what's taking place here. He comes to us, and he makes his abode with us by the Holy Spirit, and his face shines upon us. The Lord make his face to shine on you. It is what Paul said in Romans 5 and verse 5. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. It is what he prayed for in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. That the Father of glory would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And he said, "I pray that your hearts may be enlightened." That's what happens when his face shines upon us. Our hearts are enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. We see down in verse 27, he says, "So you shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel." The word is better translated, "You shall put my name," which is the way it's translated in most English Bibles. "You shall put my name as a mark of ownership. You shall place my name upon the sons of Israel." And these two things, the Lord's face shining upon us and his name upon us, come to their ultimate fulfillment in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, in verse 4, where we read that they shall see his face. They shall see his face as his face shines with the brightness of the sun from his throne in heaven. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have the need of the light of a lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. The promise comes to its ultimate fulfillment. In the glory of heaven, the Lord make his glorious face to shine on you. The fourth blessing at the end of verse 25, and the Lord be gracious to you. This is not grace in terms of unmerited favor, but this is, the word gracious here means to be kind and to be tender toward another, to be patient, to be forbearing, merciful, sympathetic toward another. The same word is used in Exodus 34, verse 6, when the Lord revealed himself to Moses and said, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth. And this is what we need. Every day as we make our way, as we progress, but sometimes we stumble and sin often along the way, we need the Lord to be gracious to us. We need the Lord to be patient with us, to be tender-hearted toward us, to be sympathetic toward us, not to frown and be angry quickly with us, but to be patient and slow to anger and gracious with us. The same things in verse 25, his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. These blessings are spoken of often in other passages in the book of Psalms. Psalm 67, verse 1, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Psalm 80, cause thy face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. Psalm 119, verse 135, make thy face shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. The fifth blessing is found in the beginning of verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance on you. The idea here is from an ancient king who would be in his royal court and he would sit upon his throne. Someone would appear in his court before him to request some favor, some justice, make a petition before the king. And if the king lifted up his eyes toward the person, then it would indicate the king's favor and his reception of the person, and his willingness to give the petition to him. You remember what Queen Esther had to do when she needed to go in before King Ahasuerus. Back in the book of Genesis, when Joseph was the ruler of Egypt, and he sent his brothers back to get his younger brother, he said to them that if they did not come back with him, he said, you will not see my face. You will not see my face. I will not lift up my countenance toward you. I will not welcome you. I will have no delight in you. But here the idea is that the Lord himself, who is the King of all kings, he sits on the throne of heaven. And he is the one who lifts up his countenance toward us so that he receives us and he welcomes us into his presence. And he is willing to hear our petitions and our requests. He looks upon us with this favor. It is an astonishing thing. It has been fulfilled through the high priest, Jesus Christ. And whenever we come to the throne of heaven, our God in heaven receives us and welcomes us through the blood of Jesus into the holy place. And he is always willing to hear us through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and hear you, receive you. Then the last blessing is found at the end of verse 26. the Lord give you peace. Really now, the highest blessing of all, because all the other blessings have been leading up to and moving toward this blessing. The peace that is spoken of here is the word pronounced shalom in the Hebrew language. A most important theological word in the Old Testament, because this peace speaks of total and complete inward happiness and joy. It means completeness in one's spiritual life, a wholeness, a fulfillment, a contentment in one's soul. This peace is an inner harmony. It is a rest of the soul. It is tranquility. It is a comprehensive state of well-being that extends throughout one's entire person. It includes mental peace, spiritual peace, emotional peace, psychological peace. It is a state of spiritual prosperity in which there is nothing missing, but everything is in its proper place in one's soul. There is no strife. There is no bitterness. There is no anxiety. There is no inward conflict or trouble here. Everything in one's soul is in a state of happiness, joy. It is the fullness of life. It is grace upon grace that comes to us from our Lord Jesus Christ. John wrote in 3 John chapter 1, he said, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health." And then he said, "just as your soul prospers." That's the peace that is spoken of here. The inward prospering of the soul through Christ and the gospel. This peace does not come because of the change in one's outward circumstances in life. It comes from the Lord, and it comes from Him only. The Lord give you peace, and the Lord can give this peace in the midst of the worst circumstances and the greatest trials of life. It is the peace that Jesus spoke of in John 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you," as he was about to return to his Father. "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you, but as I give to you." It is the peace of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It is what Paul spoke of in Philippians 4 and verse 7. "The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So this peace that is spoken of here is the final blessing that Aaron gives, that Christ gives to his people. A supernatural peace by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. So we see the six blessings that Christ has earned and gives to his people. The Lord bless you, keep you, his face shining and be gracious, his countenance upon us, with this peace of shalom in our souls. Several applications we make this morning as we close our time. And the first is that we should return blessing and thanksgiving to the Lord for the blessings that he's given to us. If we are believers, all of these blessings belong to us. These are blessings that are exceeding abundantly beyond everything, anything that we could ever ask or think. Six blessings here that embrace everything that we shall ever need, that we shall ever imagine in this life and blessings that continue into eternity in the world to come. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. There is an increase into eternity of these blessings. And so what should we do? We should return blessing to the Lord. It is a word used in a different sense. When we bless the Lord, it is a blessing of thanksgiving to him because of all his free blessings given to us. This is what Paul does in Ephesians chapter 1 as he opens the book. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to enumerate all those blessings through that passage. It is what John does when he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. So we should return blessing to God and thanksgiving for all that he has given to us. A second application is that we should live as those who are blessed by the Lord. If all these blessings are ours, salvation, protection, his shining face of light, his graciousness upon us, his countenance lifted up before us, and his peace in our souls, if all of these blessings are ours, then we should live as those who are under these blessings with joy, happiness, peace in our souls. Why are we so easily troubled? Why do we so quickly become anxious and fearful by the circumstances of life around us? The Lord bless you and keep you. Is that not sufficient to keep us in a state of peace, happiness, and joy? The Lord, may we increase, and may we know more of all these things that belong to us. May we receive them and live under them by the grace of Christ. Then the last thing we say this morning is to those who do not know the Lord Jesus that only the Lord can give you these blessings. All that we've spoken of here this morning, salvation, grace, peace, happiness, all of these blessings, these are the blessings. My friend, as an unbeliever, let me say these are the only blessings that can make you truly happy in this life. The name of the Lord is mentioned 3 times to direct you to the only one who can give you these blessings. You will never find these things in yourself. You will never find them in other people. You will never find these things in anything in this world. You will only find them from the Lord. He alone has them, and he alone can give them to you. Someone will say, well, how good do I need to be to have these blessings? And the answer to that question is, you do not need any goodness to receive these blessings, because Jesus gives them freely to all who come to him by faith. We should remember who these blessings were first spoken to. They were spoken to the sons of Israel, to Aaron, who was to pronounce them on the sons of Israel. And only days before, when Moses was up on the mountain a little too long, what did they do? Aaron made a golden calf, and all the sons of Israel began to worship that golden calf. But the Lord forgave them. And now the Lord here, through Aaron, is still willing to pronounce his blessing upon them, because the Lord is so desirous of blessing sinners that he would still bless through Aaron. And he would still willing to give blessing upon the sons of Israel. There is no merit, there is no good works that can ever earn these blessings. These blessings come to sinners, only to sinners who confess themselves to be sinners and look to Jesus alone and rest on him and all that he has done. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Let's pray together. Father and God in heaven, thank you for your abundant heart of love and kindness and mercy to sinners like us, that you are eager, so willing, so desirous to bring such great blessings upon us as your people. Be pleased to bless your word to us. Use it to enlighten and strengthen and guard us and keep us and strengthen our hearts. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the great high priest who has earned all these blessings and so freely gives them to us. We pray that you would hear us now and bless your word to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.